Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Julie Turris is on the line with us, wife of Kyle Turris, of course. We've had Julie and Ida in studio with us several times talking about their podcast that I hope a lot of you who have listened and I know have enjoyed. Julie, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you doing?
Sorry, we got all caught up into, it seems like, the first piece of kind of maybe some hope, a glimmer of hope, where, you know, now golf is saying, okay, how about we target the middle of June? MLS is saying, okay, how about we are thinking about, it looks like middle of June is now where everybody is maybe starting to breed a little bit of optimism. Into sports coming back. So we got all excited and caught up in that.
Well, it's easy to do. It's a day-by-day thing, and it changes so quickly. So it's kind of like you get a glimmer of hope, and then you kind of got to pull back, and then you get a glimmer of hope and pull back. So it's just everybody's taking it day-by-day, I think. But it does seem that we're trending in a good direction at least. So
yes, no doubt. Yeah. And you're right. This one seems a little bit more realistic because when we've seen the other ones, it's like, you know, end of April or beginning of May, we're like, no, that's not happening. Okay, let's get more realistic. That's not happening. And so this one feels a little bit better. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's been going on in the Turris household?
Oh, man.
I know the answers, but I want to hear you tell us some of the stories.
Yeah, well, we've been, you know, we have three under five, so it's kind of an interesting age, I find, for this, because our oldest doesn't start school. Like, he starts kindergarten this fall, so we're not really, like, they're all in preschool programs, but we don't have to take school too seriously right now. We're not too concerned about doing that, and then they're not, like, babies where we're trying to, you know, when you have a baby, you try to get out of the house and try to go do things just to stay busy, or you kind of, they kind of tag along, where they're at ages where all they want to do is play. So we pretty much are playing all day. And Kyle's been doing really good with that and having a lot of fun with it and letting me sleep in and stuff. And I've just been doing my part, like giving haircuts and cooking, and that's about all I can do.
Well, I've got to be honest, Julie, for the three of us who've been around Kyle since he's been here, who we love dealing with, but we've talked to you about this. We want to know, like, how did you convince Kyle for that cut? I mean, I was cracking up watching that video.
Well, so it started with, I was going to give the kids a haircut. So I had, like, a glass bowl of, like, those dumb suckers, like you get when you go to the hair salon. And they were all excited because they could get their suckers. And I had everything set up, and I had bought, like, special scissors, and Kyle had his buzzer and stuff. And I'm like, you know, had it all set up. And I'm like, oh, kind of last minute, I'm like, why don't I try it on you first, just to, like, make sure I know what I'm doing, and kind of like as a guinea pig. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. He was like, sure, go ahead. I mean, he's so low-key. I'm like, oh, okay, like, I'll just get it over with. And I started, and, like, 2 seconds in, I was like, I am in way over my head, but you can't. Like, I had to keep going, and then I just kept going, and he was, like, nervously laughing, and then at one point we were like, this is, like, it was horrible. It's just, I don't know how they do it. Like, I honestly tried really hard. I watched a YouTube video. I had the YouTube video up when I was doing it. And by the end of it, I just had to, like, it was almost like I couldn't go any further, because if I just kept taking stuff off, he would have had a shaved head. So I just said, I'm going to stop here. And that's where he's at. So, and then the kids, like, Beckett, my oldest, was like, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, don't worry. Like, no one else is getting haircuts. They got their suckers and we called it a day. So it was over pretty quick.
Dum-dums, I have an 8-year-old, and dum-dums are the only way those suckers have been the only way we've been able to get his haircut over the years.
Yeah, they're like the, like universal haircut sucker.
Right. Well, here's how it worked for us. So, especially early on, he's a little bit different, especially for the, I guess, going back 2-3 years, you know, he always wanted to sit on my lap, and it's like, oh, I don't want you on my lap while hair's going, you know, and it's like, it's a mess. So it was two dum-dums. If you do it on your own and I just stand here next to you and watch, or you just get one if you have to sit on my lap. So usually that worked for the most part. I got out of it because he wanted the two suckers.
Yeah, that's smart. Wait, is it your wife that's cutting the hair too?
No. We actually,
at this one. Okay.
Yeah, we went to the hairstylist who's been doing my hair for years. So
this is pre-quarantine when we could go to New
right.
York, so, okay.
We'll tell these stories right one of these days. Of yeah,
honestly, yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate her even more now that we can't get our hair cut and we have to do what you just had to do at the house. The other thing that I noticed that I cracked up is Kyle was kind of giving the video a tour of your house, and he said that your kids have been beating him up in Yahtzee. And I actually tweeted at him and said, don't worry about it. My kid beats me up in Yahtzee, too. It happens.
Yeah, it's funny because I joke with Kyle. Like, I've retired from playing against him in crib because he beats me. Like, I think I've won in probably 12 years, maybe, like, a handful of times, and because I get so frustrated, and he's very, very lucky. Like, he's very lucky in video games. He's very lucky in board games. Like, he just, like, has horseshoes up his butt. So my oldest, we sit down with him, and he's 5, and he has the same exact luck as Kyle, where he just, like, first roll will get, like, a large straight, or, like, 3 rolls in will get a Yahtzee. Like, he
wow.
Just, and so I'm already, like, well, I'm not going to play against him, but he just is really, and it's good. It's fun. Like, I mean, Kyle likes the competitive. Like, it's finally somebody at his level, but I'm like, I can't play with either of you. So it's just too frustrating. But Beck has a lot of fun with it, and it's good because he's going to be in kindergarten. And it kind of teaches him how to add. He's doing a really good job with, like, adding the dice and stuff, so it's fun. But I think between the two of them, I'm going to have to kind of not play because it gets too frustrating with how lucky they are.
Yeah, that's funny. We haven't talked to you in a while, so how's...
Yeah.
I think, you know, we were talking to you about off ice with you and Ida, that was in the early stages. You guys have obviously put together a lot of podcasts since we last spoke. How has everything been on that front?
It's been awesome. Like, honestly, we've had a lot of fun with it's been really good to kind of delve into, like, more serious topics, I guess. And I feel like that direction, we kind of ebb and flow. Like, sometimes it's fun stuff and sometimes it's more serious. But when we get to talk to people about, you know, a little bit more of, like, the really personal, really deep things, I think for a broader perspective, it's more relatable and people can kind of get a better look at what goes on with people personally. So we've really enjoyed just hearing people's stories. And we're kind of on hold for now. We're going to do another episode. Ida's over in Sweden, but we're going to do another episode this week and kind of just catch up on everything. It's kind of interesting too. I think we'll talk about in Sweden, they are very lax on social distancing, on stay at home, like all that. It's one of the countries that's way more lax than the rest of the world right now. And I think Ida's airs a little bit, I shouldn't speak for her, but from what I've talked about with her, she airs a little bit more on that side. And I'm a little bit more of, like, just everybody stay home. So it'll be interesting when we start to talk to kind of see the perspectives on that and, like, what direction it kind of takes. But, yeah, we've had a lot of fun with it. And it's crazy. It's been over a year now that we've been doing it. So it's been great.
That is, by the way, I'm glad you said that. Guys, did you catch that? Remember, I brought that up on the show the other day when we were talking about it.
Sure.
And I said, I think I have seen where Ida, because I go, I think Ida's over in Sweden.
Yes.
I said, I'm pretty sure I saw that on social media. Is Matthias, is the whole family over there, or is it just Ida and her son? So Matthias, everybody's over there?
Yeah, there's quite a few of the Euros who, from all over the league, who have kind of just kind of gone back just for a bit there, and just to see family and do all that. So they're there, and I know a couple others are there. There's still some that are here, too, but... we thought, even us going back to Canada, we were like, should we go back to Ottawa? Mm-hmm. And it's the weather is nicer here, and we have a little bit more space here and a big yard that we can kind of just let the kids go run in. So we've decided to stay and, you know, kind of wait it out and everything. But, yeah, there's quite a few have kind of, like, some are staying. It's about, I think the majority are staying, and some are kind of bouncing back, just back and forth and everything. So
are they able to get back if the Ekholms wanted to come back this weekend, are they able to do that?
Yeah. I'm from what I understand, they are. You just have to, like, completely self-quarantine for however long. So
gotcha.
I think it's like 14 days or whatever. But, yeah, they're able to get back. Can you imagine we start and then it's like we have no Swedes on our team?
That's what we were talking about. Julie, that's what we were talking. That's what spurred on the conversation.
That could be a problem.
Yeah, because I just flippantly said, well, do we know where everybody is, and how big of a problem would that be if the Euros, they're over in Europe and, you know, they got to be tested. So how is that going to work? And that's when I blurted out, I think I saw where Ida was back in Sweden, but I'm not positive on that. I said, but I think the Ekholms went back, but we weren't sure. And yeah, that's something they'll have to discuss, honestly. By the way, we're just talking about the Predators. What about all the other teams in the league? How many guys are over, across the way?
Yeah, it's not, I feel like a lot of people are back. I mean, from what I've seen, a lot of people, some people are back, some people are staying, but I'm assuming that they wouldn't allow people to go if there was a chance that they couldn't get back or that there was going to be an issue. So from what I would assume that it's all going to be okay, and I'm sure it is. And it is, like we said, that timeline now isn't so much April, May, it's June. So there's a lot more space there to kind of get back and get settled again.
What has Kyle been able to do? What are these professional athletes able to, especially their sport? It's one thing to be a basketball player. Most of those guys probably have a hoop at their house or an indoor gym, and they can go shoot all day long. What do professional hockey players do during these times?
Kyle has been doing a really good job of just staying in shape, and he works out every day. And he got some equipment that he was able to kind of borrow when this all started, and he does his workouts. We got a Peloton bike actually too at the beginning, which we both ride quite a bit, but he does that. Really, it's just about staying in shape and being ready. And obviously, he can't go skate in the backyard, but he's doing everything else possible to keep at the top of it. So, and that's what we've heard from everybody else too, just kind of, we're not on vacation. So it's not necessarily a vacation where you can just kind of let go and do whatever. You're in season still, technically. So you still got to keep up with it and eat right and get to bed and keep active. So
he didn't get you the Peloton bike, right? That wasn't like a gift or anything.
It's not like that Christmas commercial, no.
So much controversy over that.
I love it. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely like something we both really enjoy, but yeah, he's staying in shape. And again, we just kind of take it day by day because, the information that we get today could be different, or the information we get tomorrow could be completely different than what we hear today. So,
Julie Turris on the line with us. What was the Winter Classic in Dallas? What was that experience like for the family?
That was really cool. We actually we brought our two older kids and my mom with, and just everything from start to finish was so just top-notch. And just being all together and having such a huge group there to support the guys, and then the game itself was just other. Obviously, then the outcome was really, really cool. It was really cool atmosphere, and honestly, it's one of those things in the guy's career that you really don't like. You can experience it once and never experience it again. You don't know because it's such a special, special thing. So you just got to take it all in. And we had a great time. Dallas was a great city, and we had so much fun. So we were really appreciative of all that.
We're talking to Julie Turris, of course, married to Kyle Turris. She is the anchor of the podcast with Ida and Julie, that we've heard her on the show many times before. And one of the things, Julie, that we've discussed before is sort of that flow that you get into during the season where, Kyle's here, then he's gone. You get into that mode of when he's gone, how you work it. Now he's always there. I can remember my wife telling me when I first started traveling with the team, hey, we had a good routine going here until you got home, right?
Yeah.
So there's now he's there all the time for an extended time, but there's some things to take advantage of there. I'm wondering how that adjustment has gone for you. How is there an upside to that?
Yeah, I saw like there was a meme that was like, my wife and I have this fun game of you do that this way and there are no winners. And I feel like that's kind of, Kyle, this is kind of, our summers are similar where he's always home and all that, but it's very odd to have it like when we're in season to have him here and to not really leave in the house. Like, I'm not leaving, he's not leaving. So like anybody, I think you just kind of have to kind of create a new routine and kind of let go of some things, and the house is going to probably be a little bit messier, and there's going to be a little bit some things that are a bit different than what you're used to. But we're trying to, it's such a scary, unknown, kind of lonely time right now, and so we're kind of trying to take the silver lining of it and that's our kids are at these really great ages for us, like, to both be there and both be full-on parents and have no distractions and no appointments or travel or meetings or errands or dinners or anything. Like, we can just focus on our family. And so we've been really doing that and just having, you know, we didn't really eat dinner together because our schedules are kind of all over, and the kids would eat a little bit earlier and then Kyle and I would eat later. And now we're all having dinner at the table together and just talking with the kids and kind of having those moments. Like, it's something we'll look back on and kind of be like, this is where we started to develop that habit. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of time together, and we definitely need our breaks. But overall, the silver lining is that we get to be together as a family, and we're healthy. And
I was actually going to follow up with that exact thing, because that's happening in our house as well. We're having dinner all together, and yes. We've never strung. This has got to be a record, you know, for years of the most consecutive dinner times at the same time. And it is interesting how you get conversations going. And you'll remember these conversations, right? This is a time that you'll always look back on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's like right now it's really scary. And, you know, there's a lot of families that are directly affected by it and that are hurting and that have had, you know, illnesses or deaths. And it's going to be a really poignant time in our history. But for the families, like it's a time to kind of reset as a family and kind of draw back. And I feel like we're just in this kind of generation, in this time where you get lost in technology and in things and in activities and kind of yourself, and you kind of drift away from it. And now we're kind of all coming back together. And if that's what we can get out of this too, then that's the silver lining in it all.
Does Kyle cook any food?
Yes, he's good. He does breakfast. He does breakfast every morning. So he wakes up with the kids and he'll do waffles or pancakes or scrambled eggs or some, you know, like he does all that stuff. And then for dinner, he does lunches and stuff, but dinners I do a lot of the times, and the kids like to help, but he can definitely, like, he can do pasta and he can do all that. So he's pretty good with that.
So he's got the basic fundamental skills that every dad needs.
Survival skills. Yes. Like, if something were to happen to me, God forbid, he could make pasta and breakfast for them and they'd be okay.
Very important skill set to have for sure. Especially as the kids get older here. Let me ask you this, Julie, because you guys have a special bond. This is another thing that it runs as a theme when you guys do your podcast, the communication, the bond between all the players' wives and girlfriends, and you're not seeing each other at the rink, you know, on game night. So how have you guys stayed connected? Have you guys reached out to each other?
Yeah, and I'd say that's probably one of the harder things in this, is just missing friends and missing that face-to-face time with everybody. I miss going to games, and I miss being with the girls, and I miss even when the guys are on the road, kind of getting together and watching games. It was just, this was, you know, when you're out of season, you're in the summer and you're kind of all go your separate ways, you miss each other, but everybody's kind of in that mode. But when we're all here together and we can't really do anything, it sucks. So it's funny, the other night we played some games over Zoom with the Smiths and the Webbers, and that was really fun. And we have our group chat going, so we stay up with that and we check in, and I know a lot of the girls too actually have gotten Pelotons, like Jenna, the Watsons, they got one. So you can, like, the Beninos have one, so you can kind of FaceTime while you're doing workouts. So there's ways to stay connected, but I think we're all starting to kind of feel out of sorts and miss each other quite a bit. So
we don't know how this is going to go, but have you thought about a situation that it's been reported on a lot, a potential deal where teams go off somewhere? They've even said something like North Dakota could be one place where you go and everybody's sort of quarantined for a while. Have you thought about that? That would be bizarre, but I guess it would be what we have to do to complete the season, perhaps.
You know, we haven't, because there's so many scenarios out there, and like I said, I feel like it just changes so often and you don't know what way it's going to go. We haven't, like, honed in and really thought about one specific scenario. We're ready for whatever, and, you know, we trust that the league and the people who are making these decisions know what's best and what's going to work and what's the best way to handle this. I mean, there's no template to go off of on how to, you know, what do you do when there's a pandemic? Like, how do you deal with coming into the season? So we're ready for whatever. And I think, you know, if it was something like a neutral area to play, then we'd pick up and do that and see where it goes. If it's something where they just delay it a bit or whatever ends up happening, we're ready for it. I'm excited to see how this kind of unfolds and when we can get back into it.
Last thing, Julie, and we talked about some of this stuff, you know, the first couple of go-arounds when you're doing this podcast. That's that's what a lot of people appreciate about it is you guys delve into a lot of things and you don't skirt the issues and you talk about, you know, your unique lifestyles. I mean, you have husbands that are professional athletes and are out there in the public eye. And I just want to know how you handled, you know, some of the things Kyle has gone through here and, you know, how you guys handle that as a family. And what's interesting, and these guys know it, we've talked about it on the show for a while, you know, Kyle was blamed for a lot of things. And then all of a sudden this year we saw everything changed. People were coming to the defense, you know, the fans mm-hmm. were coming to the defense of Kyle. And I'm like, wait a minute, you guys wanted to blame him for everything. Now you're taking up for him. And now, you know, you're on his side. It's like, what happened? And I was impressed by that. And I wondered if you took notice to that and how you guys have handled it.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because when you're not playing well, and I think it comes with having a very passionate fan base. So when you have a fan base that's as loud and as excited at the games as we do here in Nashville, which is a blessing, you also get the other side of it. Well, when we're not doing well or things aren't going well or a player's not doing well or a team's not doing well, then you're going to feel it too on that end where they're upset because they feel it so deeply. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where when you're down, and sometimes people are going to throw blame at you or whatever, and you just have to kind of put your blinders up and keep your head straight, know who you are as a person and a player, and stay on your level and just keep going forward, and then things will come around. Like, it's not going to be like that forever, and things, you know, luckily for Kyle did start to turn and come back around in his favor, and to see the fans kind of rally when he was, down, I thought it was really cool because, you know, for I think both of us, we kind of like, dang, like, when they were going after him and stuff, it was like, oh no, like, they don't really like him. But when it turned and they were supportive, it was really cool to see, and we really appreciated it. And then, you know, as for him personally, and then, you know, for the team too, like, it's unfortunate the season ended when it did, because we were on a roll, and we really thought, like, it was going to be a really good end to a season there and into playoffs. So, it was good to see the fans rally behind them then, and that's what it takes. So you just have to keep supporting through the good and the bad, and it'll come out on top. And we saw that firsthand. So
you felt like they were in a good place at the
yes.
before the stoppage, that this thing was really starting to come around.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really. I mean, obviously it needed to happen, and there's a lot of players and teams that were probably pretty upset with where they were at with how that had stopped, but I feel like that was just like the peak. Like, we were just at the tip of the iceberg there, where it was about to really take off, where you could kind of get these glimpses of these games where you're like, okay, this is like a really good time to start playing that way and to continue to play that way. So we were pretty, and collectively, you know, us girls and especially Eden and I we talked about it. Like, we were pretty upset because we thought, like, you know, that that was where we needed to be, and it was only going to get better. So we had a lot of faith in it, and, you know, if it picks up or whenever it picks up, like, we'll be excited to get right back into it, and I'm sure they'll do great. So,
well, we always appreciate your time and always enjoy talking to you. You know, we take for granted that you guys used to come in studio and we could do this, you know, all face to face, but we'll do that. We'll do that again someday here, hopefully in the very near future.
Well, thank you guys for chatting, and stay safe and healthy with your families, and we'll hopefully see you guys soon.
Do you know when the next Off Ice is going to drop? Do you have a date yet?
We're recording at the end of the week, and I'm not sure if we'll record, like, if it will come out this weekend or if we'll just do our regular day of Wednesday next week, but we'll definitely let everybody know, and just hope everybody's staying safe and inside, and we'll see how it goes.
We'll pass along to the listeners as well. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Julie Turris, wife of Kyle Turris. Off Ice is their podcast. It's really good, and you ought to check it out. And as you just heard, it looks like maybe a new installment either this weekend or next week. But we'll keep close tabs on when the next one drops, and we will pass that along. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. We'll be right back. We'll talk to former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders to start the third hour of the program. Chris Mason at 1 o'clock, our weekly chat with him. We are voting. Nashville Sports Bracket, best Nashville athletes in the last 30 years. We have it down to our championship match, Steve McNair versus Pacarine. And right now we are 2.5 hours into the voting. You've got until 9 o'clock tonight before we crown a champ. Where are we currently?
Well, it has changed quite a bit since we started the show. When we started, Pecorino had a pretty big lead. Steve McNair has now pulled in front, 52% to 48%. It is neck and neck. A great voter turnout so far. A lot of you are campaigning on social media. And look, there have been some with ties to either player that have been campaigning that played with them or know them. And this is exactly what we want. And I love that it's so close right now between Steve McNair and Pecorino, the two faces of their respective franchises.
Darren, I believe you said something earlier in the show that you might want to have a take back on.
No.
Oh, he's not taking it back. Come on, Willie. You know him.
Come on.
No, are you standing by what you said earlier in the show?
Yes.
You are?
Yes. Of course.
Okay. Do you want to share with everybody what you said for people that weren't on at 10 or whatever, what time we were talking about this at the beginning of the show?
Okay. He's going to win.
But no, not only did you say he was going to win, that's not what you said.
I said he's going to win pretty, considering he's going to win pretty convincingly, 62 to 65% of the vote.
Yeah. Yeah. You still stand by that now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I don't know.
Well, there's a long ways to go, Willie. There's 9.5 hours to vote. You think there's a lot of voting now. It's just going to, you know, they'll just keep rolling in all day. There's going to be a good voter.
But we have this is the biggest swing. Based on the number of people that have voted, this is the biggest swing I've seen in our competition so far. And I love it. This is great.
I mean, this is how it should be.
This was a roaring comeback, though. Yeah.
Totally how it should be. And, I mean, over 1,200 votes have been cast so far. And, I mean, we still got a long ways to go until this thing winds down. So I think, and you know, for anyone that's saying, well, it shouldn't be close, come on. I mean, I think that you have to agree, if you've been here long enough and know what both players have meant to their franchises, I'm not surprised that it's close right now at all.
No, I do. You guys agree that their credentials are strikingly similar in a lot of ways in terms of longevity,
sure,
what they accomplished. It's very clearly close. And I don't know, you know, Steve McNair has his number retired by the Titans. I think we can say that Pecorino is going to have his number retired by the Predators when the time comes.
I'd agree.
Right? I don't know that either one of them will end up in the respective Hall of Fames, but they both have the argument. They're right on that fringe, right? They're not clear-cut Hall of Famers, but, you know, they're certainly right there.
I kind of think Pekka needs
it. And again, I just see a similarity there.
I think Steve needed the Lombardi Trophy, and I think Pekka needs a cup.
Yeah, that's. I mean, both have taken their teams to the big dance,
yeah, right to the brink,
to the end. Neither one were able to win, but both took their teams to the end all be all. Right, everybody's trying to get to the Super Bowl and the Stanley Cup Final, and both did that. I think, now this is not Steve's fault. I don't know if Steve would have stayed here his entire career or not. But, I mean, I think Pekka's got going for him is that he's going to be drafted by the Predators and he's going to end his career with the Predators. I feel very comfortable saying that. I mean, but you're never going to see Pecorino in another uniform. I don't believe so. I don't believe that'll ever happen. And so he's going to play his entire career here in this market. Steve McNair did not. It was not his fault. But I don't know if Floyd Reese and the Titans would have done whatever it took to keep Steve McNair here, if he would have played his entire career here. I suspect he would have, if given the choice. But he didn't have that choice. But I do think, nonetheless, that is a mark for Pekka. He has played his entire career here in this market and will play for this his entire career with the same organization that drafted him. And I think there's something to that, in my mind.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like I said, it wasn't Steve's fault, but
No, that was just
it happened though.
Time.
It happened. And another thing is he played for, you know, one of the arch enemies in the Baltimore Ravens. He didn't go play for the Arizona Cardinals. You know, he went to the arch enemy.
Do you think that he goes to Baltimore Derek was there, and Derek was one of his favorite targets when he was here with the Titans. I think that made a huge difference. I think that's why he ultimately went there. I don't know if it was necessarily looked at as, oh, I'm going to go play for the enemy, but his favorite receiver was there and probably helped him, recruit him. I think that's why he went there. Ultimately.
Well, they were good. Why wouldn't he go there? The Ravens were good.
Yeah.
You don't think he wanted to go to a good organization?
Or was that a trade, or did he sign there?
He was cut here.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Right?
Or was it a?
Let's double check that.
I don't think he was traded.
Now that I'm sitting here talking, and for some reason I think it was a trade.
I'd like to know. I don't believe so.
Let's see. If only we had a way to look this up.
June
7th, 2006. Titans trade Steve McNair to the Ravens.
It was a trade.
Pending McNair passing a physical.
Okay. What did they get?
They swapped, a fourth-round pick.
Why do I not remember? I mean, that would be something you would think that I would – I don't know why I don't remember that.
So
I know he was locked out of the facility. I mean, I remember the whole drama, the whole saga.
But the Titans basically – they let – so, yes, it was a trade, but they let Bus Cook speak with the Ravens to try and work out a deal. So it was like you can seek a trade. You can – we'll work with you. And so that's basically what ended up happening. Yep, so fourth round.
So he was traded, but you knew it was over.
So
once the facility thing happened,
right,
they had to find a somebody that was interested. I'm actually surprised they got a fourth rounder back. Steve McNair had one excellent season left in him, and after that he just, he wasn't the same. There was, if I remember correctly, there was a gigantic bonus in his contract that was set to hit at a certain date that there was no way. It was like a time bomb. It was a poison pill.
Knew.
There was no way they could let that go.
Yep.
And so the countdown was on, and so they knew that they couldn't risk getting him hurt because they needed to trade him.
It makes sense for Baltimore to think about it. Rather than take the chance and – him being released. Everybody knew he was going to, he was done here. But rather than try to fight everybody, whoever else would have been, players for the services of Steve McNair, this guarantees that you get him. Right? Rather than playing the game out there on the market and trying to battle everybody else. So give up a draft pick. What'd they do? You said swap fourth rounds?
So they got a fourth rounder back.
Got a fourth rounder. It's like, okay.
Quarterback? Here's the Wikipedia. The Titans allowed McNair and his agent, Bus Cook, to speak with the Ravens to try to work out a deal. The Baltimore Sun reported on May 1st, 2006, that the Ravens might wait for McNair to be released by the Titans during free agency. Speculation was that the Titans might hold on to McNair until the week before training camp in late July, if the Ravens didn't come up with a satisfactory trade offer for McNair. However, on June 7th, the two teams worked out a deal to send McNair to the Ravens for a fourth-round pick. On June 8th, McNair flew to Baltimore, passed a physical, and was announced as the newest member of the Ravens.
Yep.
So it doesn't get into the contract, but the contract was a huge factor.
Well, no, it does right before that. The series of season-ending injuries prompted the Titans to make the business decision of locking McNair out of the team headquarters.
In
the 2006 offseason, the team would not let him rehab at its building because it feared an injury would force the franchise to pay him $23.46 million.
I was going to say $25 million. It was okay, so it was a little bit less than that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I remember all that stuff.
And remember the Players Association filed a grievance and they won.
Yep.
It was just look.
It was a mess. It was an absolute mess.
And then when he retired, he retired a Raven, and I think that was because of how everything ended, and that was what was unfortunate, because everybody will look at him and go, he's a Titan. He played 2 years with Baltimore. But You know, it just it was very, very unfortunate of how it all ended, his career, you know, here in Tennessee because of business. And that's the part that stinks.
Yep. We will come back. There's some news. I'll let you know, or I'll let you hear what someone from the LA Times just put out about the NHL. We'll do that to close up shop in the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next. Good news down in Murfreesboro, close to where I am. Nick McDevitt, the basketball coach for the Blue Raiders on the men's side, has just landed Elias Keane. He is transferred. He played at Mississippi State last year as a freshman. He's a four-star prospect, and it looks like he's going to join the Blue Raiders. 6'8" guy, guard, 205 pounds. Guess he's from Atlanta. He was a four-star prospect. Number 5 in the state of Georgia, and it looks like he is going to be with MTSU. How about that? He signed his grant in aid to officially join the Blue Raiders, so wanted to pass that along. The LA Times has the headline is, "It's time for the NHL to cancel the rest of the regular season." I don't know if you guys saw this. This was put out last night, and it says, if you read through the article, is it Helene Elliott?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Helene Elliott, columnist for the LA Times.
Long-time coverer of the league. She's covered the league for a long time.
And she says it is time to go on and make the announcement. You're getting rid of the regular season. Cancel the remaining games of the regular season. That's about 15% of the schedule. So ticket-holding fans can get their money back to buy necessities, cancel those games so teams that were eliminated don't have to go through a farce of a training camp to play a dozen games just so Commissioner Gary Bettman can say the season was complete. Forget that idea of a play-in tournament for teams that weren't in playoff spots because it would devalue the regular season games that were played. Go right to the Stanley Cup playoffs if you must go at all. Qualifiers will be based on point percentage because the teams had played a varying number of games when league play was halted. What do you guys make of the latest in the LA Times saying it's time for the league to say they're not coming back to play the rest of the regular season?
Well, Helene is a great reporter. She's been around and covered this league. She knows it very, very well. But this is a column, right? This is an opinion column for her. I don't think it's based on anything she's hearing from the league. Although Drew Doughty of the LA Kings was outspoken the other day saying, "I don't see how we're going to play the rest of the season." But I would think the perspective of somebody sitting in the camp of the Kings or the Ducks, you know, teams that are out of the race, right? They're not going to win the Stanley Cup this year. They probably have a different attitude than, say, the Predators or the Jets or the Blues, you know, somebody that has a chance to get into the playoffs, A, or B, defend a title, don't you think? I mean, it would change your thinking some. But I can see that. I think Gary Bettman has got to field the opinion of some of these teams, like the Ducks, like the Kings, like the Red Wings. You know, do their players want to play? Are they okay just saying, you know what, this isn't worth it? You know, our fans, it's best for our fans, best for our players to just, you know, keep the pause button on until we resume play next season.
But what does that mean for, like, the TV deals? I think that that's something that Gary Bettman and the NHL are looking at. I think that, you know, because I don't know the exact wording of the contracts, but I would assume that a completed season means every team plays 82 games. And so if that doesn't happen, then what does that mean for the money that, you know, NBC and Sportsnet have to pay the NHL? And so I think that that's one reason why these leagues are so determined to try and finish the regular season so they can get that money, because that's huge to all the teams.
That is part of the equation for sure. And I think they have to come up with a happy median, because there are going to be some irate teams like the Jets, right, who are right on the cusp of being in, and they will not want to hear that, you know, you guys were a point out or you guys were tied, but you guys can't play as we resume. So that's the difficult thing to strike when you're balancing the revenue involved and what's fair to resume a season under the circumstances, and not everybody's going to be happy.
No, because that will be the example. The West is the East was pretty cut and dry, if memory serves me correct, but the West, a little bit different, as you said, if you use the point percentage. Yeah, Winnipeg, the teams go from in to being out, teams out going in. You know, that does change the dynamic a little bit. So, yeah, I don't know if they're how you please everybody. Because, look, even if you try to please everybody and you make it bigger than the 16 teams, like some of the stuff we've heard, you're going to have detractors. You're going to have people come out and say, man, you're cheapening this. You know, those teams don't belong in. They shouldn't be in the playoffs. You know, why is this team in? And as she said in the column, that, you know, you've devalued the regular season. Like, give me a break with that team. They don't belong in the postseason. So either way, it's a no-win situation, right? Somebody is going to – you're going to have detractors no matter what they come up with. You're not going to be able to please anybody.
But Chase makes a good point, and that is, you know, you're recapturing more of the television money the more games that you can, you know, get played, even if there's no fans there. And I think we're all believing that if they play, it's going to be with no fans. So you're looking at revenue from the TV money. So there's an incentive, too. We've talked about the factor of wrestling and, you know, Ultimate Fighting. They don't have a Players Association. NASCAR doesn't. The hockey teams do have a Players Association, but the players are incentivized to play because, of course, the salary cap is all based on dividing up the pie of all the revenues. So that is the incentive for players to play, even on teams that are not going to make the playoffs.
And kind of going back to what we talked about with Julie Turris, you know, you've got players that are over in Europe right now. And as she described, for let's say for a country like Sweden, they're a lot more laxed than we are, right? And so you're going to have to come up with, one, you're going to have to get everybody back. And two, you're going to have to, everybody's going to have to be quarantined. And, you know, you're going to have to go through certain steps just to make sure everybody is free and clear, because the league doesn't know where they've been, what they've been doing while they've been gone, right? You'd like to believe everybody's been in their house safe and sound, but for all the players that went back, maybe in their country, who knows? Maybe they're like Dak Prescott. Maybe they're having quarantine parties. Who knows, right? There's no way for us to know.
Yeah, let's certainly hope that they've been smart, because you're right, that is going to factor in. Who, when they get the green light to come gather again and start, you know, the 2 to 3 week process of getting in shape, it is going to be a real hindrance if some people come back who are infected, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I just think, and what we were talking about earlier with golf, and, you know, if NASCAR is one of these sports that comes back, I think that's where the NHL has to monitor things. But, you know, one scenario that's kind of been out there, it's been consistent, has been it could be the summer. And I remember when this all started that the league was asking buildings to look at, you know, June and July, and there was that scenario that was out there of potentially finishing this season late July, have, you know, off season kind of in between, and, you know, it would be November before next season starts. And it's all changing, but I think that they want to get it in. They want to finish it because of that TV revenue and other things, but you got to be realistic at the end of the day. And right now, I don't think we realistically know if it's possible still. So that's why having these ideas is a good thing, and being ready to go. You know, we talked to Sean Henry this morning on the rundown, and he said, you know, I would hope that everybody's talking, because that's what we're doing. We're having meetings and ideas are being thrown around every day just so we're ready whenever, whatever the decision is, whenever it comes down.
This is something I thought of too, Chase, as you're throwing that stuff out there. You heard Elliott say, you know, teams like the Rangers and the Blackhawks, teams that are outside of the playoffs, but big, big markets, right, that you would think if they have a chance to get in and play in, you would have a lot more eyeballs if those teams are eligible to play. And then the other thing that we mentioned earlier in the show, Chase, you read the quote, but the endorsement of Dr. Fauci saying, yeah, it's possible. You know, he didn't shoot down the because you and I, we all, maybe a week or two ago, when they started throwing out this, you could go to North Dakota and you could play, we were thinking, how are they going to pull this off? There's so many hurdles to have in this bubble. How could you possibly do it? But Dr. Fauci saying, hey, yeah, you could pull it off. I think that gives the green light to a lot of people to continue, you know, looking through and troubleshooting and trying to find a way to do it. It seems like it's more realistic because he says it might be able to be done.
We'll come back third hour. Titans, former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders to kick things off. We do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.